Hello, Zimbabwe, and welcome to Live Talk. We are coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. I am your host, Thabo Kanqube. Tonight, we are discussing the year 2024. The year 2023 was characterized by disputed elections in Zimbabwe, a subdued economy, and drought that is expected to leave 2.7 million people needing humanitarian assistance. But first, let's take a look at what is happening in other parts of the world. New Year's Day arrived to cheers from thousands in New York's Times Square, where a sparkling crystal ball descended to start 2024 with hope for some. Even as the world's ongoing conflicts subdued celebrations and raised security concerns across the globe.
All right, so how are you feeling right now that it's 2024?
We made it!
What are your hopes and dreams for the year to come? All distance.
Peace, happiness.
I just hope that this is just a better place to live. Everyone just comes together as one, you know, and just love on each other.
New wars and growing hunger and poverty on a warming planet, and little the United Nations can do to fix it. VOA correspondent Margaret Bashir looks at the UN's future in a world where its impact is shrinking.
In 2023, the war in Ukraine entered its second year, with no peace on the horizon. Military coups destabilized parts of Africa, and new and deadly wars arose in Sudan and the Middle East. The United Nations has had little success in stopping the bloodshed.
It's particularly been challenging because the kinds of conflicts the UN has been facing over the last year have been exactly the kinds of conflicts that the UN is least well-equipped to manage. There are conflicts between the big permanent members of the Security Council. And when those countries are involved, the UN has the least scope for action.
That's because Britain, China, France, Russia, and the United States can use their vetoes to block sanctions and other tools the Council can use to maintain peace and security. This past year, geopolitical divisions intensified over Russia's war in Ukraine, and since October, Washington's support for Israel's war against Hamas.
And the mood in the Security Council now is poisonous.
The people of Gaza are looking into the abyss.
Secretary General Antonio Guterres was unable to unblock the paralysis by invoking in December the rarely used Article 99 of the UN Charter to press the Council for a humanitarian ceasefire in the Israel-Hamas war. The United States vetoed his appeal, and Israel called for his resignation. The news wasn't much better for the UN's peacekeeping efforts in the field. The organization's blue helmets marked 75 years of peace operations this year. But the anniversary comes as Mali and the Democratic Republic of Congo demand that UN forces leave their territory, and as Haiti appeals for an international force to help stabilize the country, just not a UN one. In Africa, leaders are turning more to forces drawn from regional blocs to deal with sub-Saharan crises. This, along with peacekeeping's hefty annual budget of more than $6 billion, has prompted questions about the efficiency, value, and need for present and future missions.
Moving forward, what we think we should work together with the member states on is to make sure that UN peacekeeping operations, when they are warranted, will be fit for purpose. And when it's about enforcement, not peacekeeping, then it's not for UN peacekeeping to do enforcement, it's for other form of operation.
One hopeful moment came at the COP28 climate conference in Dubai. Delegates agreed for the first time on the need to move away from fossil fuels, a major driver of global warming. With climate change intensifying natural disasters, conflicts, and other global shocks, the UN has been called upon more to mobilize delivery of humanitarian assistance.
We see both things, right? We see that even when there's diminished political space to broker political solutions to conflicts or to human crises, there's still the real potential to do important, significant work on the humanitarian scale, but it has to be funded, it has to be supported in order to get the sort of greatest impact.
Over decades, many have called for reforms to the UN, including expanding Security Council representation to reflect current realities.
The UN was paralyzed for long periods of the Cold War. So the fact that it is once again going through a period of crisis doesn't mean that it's dead. I think there is a real need to think about the structures of the UN and how they could be changed.
The problem, the analysts say, is there is little consensus on how to change the organization for the better. Margaret Bashir, VOA News, the United Nations.
Israel said Monday it is withdrawing some soldiers from the Gaza Strip for training and rest as it looks to prepare for what officials have said will be a war against Hamas that will go for months. According to Reuters, at least 20,000 Palestinians have died in the Israel-Hamas war since October 7 last year. For those that have just joined us, we are streaming live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We are also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. Tonight, we are talking about 2024. What are your expectations this year? Observers say the economic situation in Zimbabwe will be worsened by a crippling drought caused by El Nino phenomenon. Please stay tuned as we take a brief break.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
To discuss this issue, we are joined on Skype by Masimba Mabaza of ZANU-PF and on the phone, Fortune Mlalazi of the Opposition Citizens Coalition for Change, and Efi Zelangube, an economic and political commentator with the National Consumer Rights Association. Welcome to Live Talk, gentlemen.
Welcome.
Thank you there, Mr. Mabaza. It seems we are still trying to connect with the others, but as we have seen the year 2023, there was a lot of drama happening, especially at the end of the year, where we saw the August elections, the recalls, the court cases, a lot of activity happening in the political scene there. What can we expect to see as 2024 comes in, Mr. Mabaza?
To start with, I think 2023 was quite a fruitful year for ZANU-PF and its supporters. It is the year we won elections, and we accepted the win. I know it's the year where the other parties complained bitterly, but we had won the elections and Zimbabwe celebrated with us. So 2023 was a year of progress. But now what do we expect in 2024? We expect progress. We expect a proper development. Yes, there has been a problem of drought, which is induced by these El Ninos which were coming up. But what we have seen is that the rains have come, Some have come with floods, but the floods were not enough to destroy the crops. Actually, people are now starting to plant their crops, and we are expecting a medium harvest in Zimbabwe because of the rains which have come, albeit very late, but they will definitely serve a purpose. And again, our economic transformation is proceeding. The government is doing all what it can do to make sure that all the sectors of industry are actually firing from all the corners. The Minister of Finance, Comrade Mthuli Ncube, who actually won the Best Minister of the Year award last year here in England, is actually going to do more than what he did last year. So last year was the foundation of an economic recovery. This year is the year of enjoying the fruits of our economic recovery. Things were tough a bit economically, but that is what happens. When you are plowing, it is tough to plow, it is tough to cultivate, but it is sweet and very sweet to eat. So this is the year of harvesting what we have been sweating and toiling for the past year. So 2024, it's a year of hope, a year of progress, and a year of industrial development, and a year of economical improvement and development in Zimbabwe. So we are looking forward to this year, which has started today, with anxiety, excitement, and great expectation of great economic improvement for the country.
Thank you there, Mr. Mabaza. We now have Mr. Efi Dlela Ncube on the phone. Welcome to Live Talk, Ncube.
Thank you very much. Good evening, good afternoon, depending on where you are.
Thank you. We had Mr. Mabaza talking about a year that is hopeful. And looking at consumers, as someone who stands for consumer rights, we are looking at the year, what happened in the year 2023 and what we can expect in the year 2024. There's been an outcry by consumers on the prices of goods in Zimbabwe. What can we look forward to in the year 2024, Ncube?
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity. I think I need to start by saying that the consumers in Zimbabwe are all citizens of Zimbabwe. Every one of the 16 or 17 million Zimbabweans. And when before we talk about consumption, consumers, we talk about people who must have jobs, who must have access to jobs so that they may earn the necessary income to spend on goods and services. And that has been the greatest challenge for Zimbabweans over years, the absence of well-paying jobs, particularly given the fact that they are being paid, some of them, in Zim dollars, in an economy that is completely dollarized. There is a disjuncture there. The second issue that is very important when it comes to what was happening is the state of the economy that has affected people right across the board. And of particular note is the state of pricing, the runaway prices in the economy, necessitated by the absence of certain fundamentals that must power price stability. For instance, the poor balance of payments, the shortage of the goods in the shelves, and other things really that has made it very difficult for people to plan their lives. And in 2024, we expect that the situation will continue unless something is done to fundamentally alter the economic trajectory of the country. And the key actor, the key factor there in altering the direction of the economy is to get our politics right. That's very, very important because the politics and the economy are interconnected throughout the world. It's not a miracle that you have a working economy that delivers stable prices, that delivers adequate foreign currency, that delivers the easier access to your cash, that delivers jobs, productivity, and all those things. It is because the politics is enabling that to happen. And unless we do that as well, we get our politics to be an enabler of productivity, of price stability, or for local and international investment, then we are going to continue with the same trajectory of higher prices, pricing, stability, shortage of cash, shortage of foreign currency, absence of jobs, and all the other things that really affect Zimbabweans in their totality.
Thank you there, Mr. Ncube. Coming to you, Mr. Mlalazi, welcome to the program. And we have seen a lot of action, especially from the opposition, CCC, a lot of court cases at the end of the year. What can we expect in the year 2024? Is there anything that is changing? Are there any changes that can bring a hope for Zimbabwe? Most people are saying no. We are not really interested in the politics. We want our lives to be transformed. What is the plan?
Yes, thank you very much. Good evening to your listeners, and happy new year to everyone. It's one of the saying, Goman, Dio, which is unfortunately our situation. There isn't much to expect in the year 2024 as long as our politics is not sorted. Like what the previous speakers alluded to, that our economy is linked to our politics. Unfortunately, we have a bad leadership. Our biggest challenge in Zimbabwe is not we don't have an economic challenge. We have a political crisis. As long as we do not sort out our politics, as long as we do not put measures in place so that we can have fundamental freedom restored to our citizens, we can expect what I call Ngomandio Ndio, because what we have currently is a clueless leadership that does not have an understanding, or that doesn't have a clue forward.
Thank you, Mr. Mlalazi. Tizoke Kwamuri Vamavaza, you heard what the two gentlemen had to say, and you heard what the two gentlemen had to say. And for my next question to you will be, what has changed this year? Because they are saying no. Zvazvanga zvingori ndizvo zvazviri, saka ngoma ndiyo ndiyo mugore rino. What really has changed that can give you the certainty that this year is going to be a better year, looking at the politics and economics in Zimbabwe?
The first point you must look at is you can make the year what you want it to be. It is so sad that we've got people like the last two speakers who are actually casting the doom light on above the economy of Zimbabwe. Now, let me tell you, everything has changed. We now have a hands-on leadership. What we had for the first 5 years of Comrade Idi's government was the foundation of development of our economy. Now, this coming 5 years, this year 2024, it's our first year of the last 5 years of the second term of President Mnangagwa. And again, we have made a lot of progress. Unfortunately, people who have got an opposition mind don't see the progress. The world saw the progress and awarded Thuli Ncube with the best African minister of the year, 2023. And whatever is done, which has made those people award him, that is going to do more of it this year, and we are going to enjoy our economical growth. The economy is actually growing as we stand, regardless of the drought which has threatened us. The rains have started coming down, and the people are actually, as I have said, our agricultural sector is actually booming as we speak. Our mining industry, which has just had a small pause because of the rains, has been picking up very well. And some other mines, we have got more than 18 minerals which we have discovered in the last year and so, and all these things put together and put into the market, Zimbabwean economy is increasing. So in other words, a lot of things have changed. Coming to politics, which my colleagues seem to dwell on without understanding what they are saying, politics, the political situation of Zimbabwe is not affected our economy at all. Our political situation has actually empowered our economy, has empowered the thinkers. The fact that ZANU-PF has won elections 2023, it gave us a continuity in developing our economy, a continuity in making Zimbabwe a better country again, which it is now. And again, when you look at it, the political confusion we have in Zimbabwe is only found in the camp of CCC, the opposition, where they are doing recalls and recalls, which are actually costing us a lot of funds. But recalls or no recalls, ZANU-PF's government is not stopping. It is continuing, making sure the people of Zimbabwe benefit from their leadership which they have elected. And again, from the economy, because we are a blessed country with such minerals, as you have said, and the rains, the heavens are smiling upon us as the rains thunder and wash away the drought. Zimbabwe is poised for economic success this coming 2024.
Thank you.
So it's a year of progress and not a year of...
Thank you there, Mr. Mawaza. Fortunately, today we have Mr. Fidlela Ncube representing consumers. So he is not a politician, but he looks at issues around what the consumers are feeling in the economy. So I'll ask Mr. Ncube to come and respond to what you have been saying, Mr. Mawaza.
Well, thank you very much. I think it's important to note that the economy, the growth that we are talking about in the economy is yet to translate into well-paying jobs that will give people enough disposable incomes to sustain quality living. What we are having is growth on paper that is yet to translate into the shelves in the supermarkets and the like. As my brother was saying, that the finance minister was named the African finance minister of the year and the like and the like. That is not translating into any changes to the people that are found in the deepest rural areas, marginalized from access to cash, from access to jobs and all those things. The reality is that a growth of 3%, 4%, 5% a year over a period of just 2 or 3 years is not enough to reverse the economic downturn, the economic crisis that has prevailed over decades now. It will take much, much more than what has been done so far to change the situation on the ground. First and foremost, we have a challenge of the fact that there is confusion on the ground as to which currency to use. The Zimbabwean dollar or any of the multiple foreign currencies that are prevailing in the market. We have a very huge challenge, what I will call competence challenge among Zimbabweans when it comes to the Zimbabwean dollar. You would know that the pensioners are finding it extremely hard to access their cash, which they worked for over decades. So there are so many fundamental challenges, really, that cannot be eliminated just by speaking good in terms of our politics and all those things. Our economy is in bad state in as far as is necessary to change the economic realities, need realities on the ground. So much as it has been said that the economy is growing, there is continuity. For many people, the continuity that they are seeing is not the economic development, it is the poverty. There is continuity of poverty, of hunger, of unemployment, of suffering. And therefore, we must, whatever economic policies are deployed, be mindful of the situation, the lived realities of so many people that are unable to pay their school fees, meet their educational needs of their kids, meet the health care bills, meet the day-to-day or monthly renters for wherever they are accommodated. These are challenges that are meeting the people of Zimbabwe on the ground. The growth that we are talking about is so far or just on paper and nowhere near the pockets of the people, nowhere near touching the grandmother in Zarabane, the grandmother in Kirezi, the grandmother in Cholocho, the grandmother in Pinka and the like. It is yet to translate to young people seeing economic opportunities, seeing jobs, well-paying jobs and so forth. We have thousands, millions of young people that have resorted to substance abuse because they can't access economic opportunities. That is the lived reality that the government must confront.
Thank you, Mr. Ncube. Coming to you, Mr. Mlalazi, as the opposition, what are the plans for 2024 to push forward for the issues that you have raised in this platform in terms of unemployment, in terms of developing the economy of the country? What is the plan for 2024?
Before we get to the plans of the opposition, I think we need to emphasize that the biggest challenge, the biggest elephant in the room, is ZANU-PF. And you can't plan anything economically as long as ZANU-PF is still in charge.
1 minute remaining.
We need to get rid of ZANU-PF. ZANU-PF needs to go as soon as possible. This is the same party that has turned us into Stone Age scavengers. This is the same party that has turned us into vendors. The whole of Zimbabwe, we have people vending. If people are not vending, they are looking for money to apply for passports so they can leave the country. That is what we've been turned into. So there isn't much that you can do as an opposition party in Zimbabwe, because we have seen over the years, since 1980, they will crush you. Their agenda, their policy towards the opposition parties is to crush. We saw it happened with ZAPU, with the Forum Party, Zoom, and all other parties that care.
Your airtime is exhausted and your call has been terminated. Please load airtime.
Thank you. Mr. Mlalazi, unfortunately, he got cut off. Coming to you, Vam Mavaza, in a minute, can you respond to the two gentlemen?
Yes, the first gentleman, the consumer, whatever person, I do agree with him that we are yet to see the development into practice. Yes, because today is the 1st of January. We can't see the fruits in 1 day, but for his own comfort, this is the beginning of the people to witness, the comfort to witness the fruits of the economic development. And again, it is a shame that we are told that ZANU-PF needs to be removed by a man from CCC who can't even imagine manage their own party. It's laughable. The reality of the matter is ZANU-PF has been stable, has been solid in itself, has been uniting itself as a party, and it's uniting the country. And that's
thank you. Thank you there, Vamavaza. Unfortunately, time is not on our side. Mr. Ncube, can you come and wrap up in 30 seconds?
Well, thank you very much. I think what will be important in 2024 is to focus, give added attention to political stability in the country, address all the economic and political risk factors that are preventing the country from moving forward. That is extremely important. And from a consumer standpoint of view, it's important to stabilize prices, ensure that people have access to foreign currency, that they have access to jobs, and also to minimize the impact of the taxes that we are seeing coming in, because they are going to eliminate much of the disposable incomes and drive many people away from the revenue.
Thank you, Mr. Ncube. Unfortunately, time is not on our side. Let me take this opportunity to thank you for coming on the program. And that brings us to the end of our show. Let's make another date tomorrow. Signing off in Washington, I am Thabo Ncube.